everyone, and welcome to the Every Movie Ever podcast. My name is Ben Groves.
My name is Rob McFarlane. Welcome to the show. If this is your first time joining us, Ben and I are two dudes who struggle with our mentals, and so we grab an hour together once a week to, you know, have fun about movies, check the other is okay, and sort of remind each other that struggling is best done with company. So, Ben, given that, before I get to what we're doing, I feel it's important. How are you doing, buddy? You still playing, I don't know, DBD? Is that what you play? Oh, it's Killer Clowns.
Has that replaced? Killer Clowns now. I'm good. I've been aiming for middle of the road beige days, you know what I mean? Normal days.
Yeah.
No adrenaline, no anxiety, no panic. No one's coming to get you. And yeah, I'm there, man.
That's quite healthy.
Kinda. It's boring, but it's, you know, it's fine. It's fine.
Boring's good. Boring is good. I'm learning that.
DBD, I need to get back into it, but you come and play it with me.
I refuse to play that game until they man up and add real killers like Lucy Letby.
Is that the nurse that killed all the babies?
Yeah. She'd be a hard counter to Chucky, I'm guessing.
Ooh, they might be best mates, you know.
Would they? I've not seen the Chucky movies either.
For fuck's sake, man.
I'm arguably talking to you about a franchise horror game.
Right.
That just pulls in franchises from horror movies I've not seen. I only talk about it because you like it. I'm literally just going, and how's your Pokemons?
Lucy Letby wouldn't work in DBD. They've already got a nurse.
Skin?
Oh.
Limited edition skin?
I'd buy that skin. How are you though, man?
Yeah, getting on.
Good.
Very, very close to car ownership.
Ooh,
and like,
that's exciting. You know,
travel freedom.
Yeah.
Another couple of episodes, I reckon, and then I'll have a little car.
Nice.
And I'll be able to go anywhere and do anything. Shit. I could drive to China.
Ooh, you know? Please don't. I'd miss you. And just like Lucy Letby, we've murdered the small amount of time we have for this section.
Fucking hell.
We get into this episode, buddy?
Ben. Yes, this week we...
You brought her up.
Right, fine. This week we are keeping it kaiju by looking across the globe at how the OG nation of Zilla served up their slice of giant lizard this year. It is, of course, Godzilla minus one.
Yeah, buddy! We have got so much to cover this week, including
why we love this film, even though it made us cry like babies.
Which incarnation of Godzilla to date is our favorite?
How this film managed to snatch the special effects Oscar at this year's Academy Awards on only a $10 million budget.
Oh, that's fucking mental. And why is this the perfect counterpoint to Nolan's Oppenheimer?
I mean, I'll tell you one thing. The budget is one of the main reasons it's a counterpoint. Because, 10 to 12 million.
Insane.
It made 116 million.
Good.
So it's made
it
10 times what it cost to make.
And what did Oppenheimer cost? Like 200 mil? 100 mil on marketing and 100 mil budget on the film, right?
No, it cost exactly what Godzilla Minus One made. It's almost like if they were the same company, Godzilla Minus One would have paid for one Oppenheimer.
Bryce.
Which would be an unfortunate turn of events.
I was going to say.
It cost 100 mil. Everyone should care about this film. It's not only an Oscar winner, it is the highest grossing Japanese Godzilla film of all time.
That surprises me.
I mean, I'm not sure if that's adjusted for inflation or not, because the internet is a difficult place to try and get a solid answer out of.
Yeah.
Lots of people have opinions, but very few people have facts on that.
Yeah.
Highest grossing Godzilla movie of all time, according to three or four places I read it. So
cool. Okay. Awesome.
Fuck them if I'm wrong.
Yeah, fuck them. You know what I mean? Fuck you, inflation's a thing, dick.
And I thought, considering we're doing MonsterVerse, we're doing Western Godzilla.
We are.
And you did not shut up about this movie.
I didn't.
All year.
No. I saw this in the cinema and it literally blew my actual tits off.
Nice.
I couldn't believe that I saw this in a cinema in a small town in the West Midlands of England. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, you need to start believing that, because that's like the ninth film. You're like, I can't believe I'm seeing this in a small cinema.
It just makes me
That's how cinemas work, Ben.
I know, but it just makes me incredibly fucking grateful and proud of my little town for being sort of like, you know what? Do you know what I reckon would sell well in Telford? A Toho Godzilla film about survivor's guilt. You know what I mean?
Yeah, fair. That is fair. That is fair. Now, for the few people out there who haven't seen this, we're going to spoil it because we want to talk about how the film made us feel.
Yeah.
And it would be insane of us to talk about that with you listening without you knowing what the fuck we were talking about. So for those of you who want to see this movie, pause it here, go watch it. We're going to assume that everyone from this point out has either seen it or not planning to.
Yeah.
Shall we break it down?
We should. We should indeed. And can you play the new and improved jingle, please?
I mean, it's been playing.
Heard it recently and full approve. Much less good. Violently personally attacking. It's good. It's nice, yeah.
But still a personal voice note that you sent to me, so it feels like we're both happy.
Yeah,
you
see, know? It's a nice middle ground where it's not a perverse intrusion and it's not mm-hmm. exactly what I asked for, but it's somewhere in the middle, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we're like some... We're having a
breakdown. Right, I've written this week's breakdown. I've tried to keep it
yep.
light and fun. It's quite hard with this film because it's fucking harrowing and heartbreaking. So could you do me the honor of reading Act 1 and Act 3 and I will jump in with Act 2?
So, Act 1. I'm going to edit you out because I was 100% doing it. Act 1, the No Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Mint tile.
Thank you.
The year... is 1945, and Koichi Shikishima, a kamikaze pilot on his way to grab an uncredited extra role in that fucking Ben Affleck about pearls or some shit, decides he doesn't want to kill himself and fakes his plane needing a repair. Landing on Odo Island, a team of mechanics headed up by Tachibana find nothing wrong with his plane and try to reason with him to continue his journey to flesh bomb glory. Oh. Okay. That night, however, on Odo Island, Godzilla appears and fucking levels everything. The only hope is Shikishima reaching his fully functioning plane and shooting the shit out of Godzilla. But Shikishima freezes, and everyone apart from Tachibana and Shikishima die.
No.
Tachibana places all blame on Shikishima, and he returns to Tokyo, heavy with the guilt of abandoning his duty and causing the death of dozens of men. His family home has been destroyed by the war, and his neighbours call him a coward for not being the suicidal pilot they all thought him to be.
Aww.
As Shikishima struggles with survivor's guilt and tries to figure out what the fuck he's going to do, he finds Noriko and Akiko at the market and takes them in to help care for them. Am I murdering these names, Ben?
I've, on purpose, every time I mention Shikishima...
Mm.
I've full named him just because I love nice. Hearing you say that name. It's honestly
brilliant.
This is like,
you'll notice that I'll always have to pause afterwards while my brain goes, don't need to do that one again.
Yep.
No, it's not going to get better.
Dude, it's perfect. This is how you must feel when you do a really long winded fucking
it's full fun,
of
right?
massive words. It's great.
It's fun, right?
It's
right?
wicked.
It's addictive.
Yeah, it's a dick move, but it's fun.
All right.
Act 2, we can rebuild it. Bigger, better, stronger. Shikishima finally gets a job aboard a minesweeper vessel clearing out old matter. So,
How's that feeling, Ben?
So many spelling mistakes considering I fucking wrote this. Shikishima finally gets a job aboard a minesweeper vessel clearing out old magnetic mines for the Japanese government. Noriko and Akiko are provided for, and the crew of the minesweeping vessel take Shikishima in as one of their own. After a while of peace and deep emotional storytelling about emotional growth and accepting your past, and oh shit, yeah, Godzilla, the massive fuck-off lizard boy is back to fuck up some more stuff. The minesweeper vessel is tasked with stalling Godzilla's approach to the mainland. Shikishima heads home and tells Noriko all about Godzilla and his past that haunts him. Noriko holds back telling him that she's just got a new job in a different city and is leaving with Akiko in favor of helping Shikishima.
Yeah. Act 3, I feel like your titles really filmic, you know, the No Suicide Squad, we can be rebuild it bigger, better, stronger. Act 3, Noriko gets a new job in a different city and is leaving with Akiko. Noriko starts her new job in Ginza, only for the city to be absolutely shit-minced immediately. Shikishima gets there just in time for Noriko to sacrifice her life for his and leave him with that child that has been orphaned thrice now. Sick of the government's inaction, the people pull together and form a small freelance army dedicated to defeating Godzilla. One of Shikishima's crew mates, Kodo, forms a plan to destroy Godzilla by explosive decompression.
Fuck off, are you reading my spelling mistakes right now? You're a dick.
I thought you were being, I thought it was like a Japanese affectation. I thought you were like, destroy all Godzilla.
I thought it was intentional. No, it's dyslexia, cunt.
All right. To destroy Godzilla by explosive decompression, using Freon gas and rapid inflatables to sink and float the fucker until he pops in the harbour.
Yeah.
See, you say it's a harrowing film with no levity in it, but that bit was fucking hilarious.
Oh, mate, it was mint. When he proposed that plan to a room full of people completely straight-faced, I was like, fucking what?
We're going to wrap him in balloons.
Yeah.
Shikishima tracks down Tachibana to help him modify a plane needed to distract Godzilla and draw him out into the water. Still racked with guilt, and now with no reason to want to live after the death of Noriko, because fuck that kid, he ain't her dad.
Honestly.
Shikishima gets Tachibana to turn his plane into a kamikaze plane. Although Tachibana, who is probably the most incredibly written character in any Godzilla film to date, I'm going to challenge that later,
okay,
forgives Shikishima and gives him the option to live by building an ejector seat into the plane. I could finish telling you the story and how it ends, but honestly, just go fucking watch it, because if you don't, you're only hurting yourself. Practice what this film preaches and love yourself enough to live. And
yeah,
watch Godzilla Minus One. Spoiler, it is mint.
Yeah.
Now, I got a question for you this week, Ben.
Okay.
Because I was watching this.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, it's a Godzilla movie. Ben says it's sad, which means it's not going to be sad. It's just going to be, you know, have someone's dad walk out a door, or at some point, a dad's going to leave the frame and Ben's going to be like, ah!
I've got dad issues, man. I'm not ashamed to admit it. You know what I mean?
I know. You should be, but...
Oh, boo-hoo for me. I was abandoned as a child. You know what I mean? What a pussy.
Yeah. just man up, mate. Just man up. That's what this podcast is all about. Just going,
yeah,
fuck you, man up.
Yeah.
Your emotions aren't valid.
What, you cried once, pussy.
Gay.
I know.
With that said, this film made me quite sad, Ben. And I wish I had listened to you when you said it was going to make me really sad.
Fucking told you.
I tell you for why. The main character is going through something that you and I are both going through.
Yep.
And it's not the giant lizard attack that we both survived.
Speak for yourself.
What?
A bearded dragon at Pets at Home last year was a bitch. I'm telling you. Scared the shit out of me.
No, it was the being very dead set. You know what you're going to do. You've got your plan ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
All good.
Yeah.
Because of personal incompatibility with greatness.
Yeah.
Which is my way of avoiding saying I failed.
Sure.
Because of personal incompatibility with greatness, mm-hmm, that plan no longer applies.
Oh, yeah.
And then you sort of sat there going, now what do I do? And this film is 2 hours of a man going, now what do I do? And then a big lizard comes. Yeah. He sort of makes his plan. And he puts the first couple of, like, mm-hmm, beams of wood up,
yep,
to say, okay, I'm going to build a new house. And then Godzilla just goes, nah,
yeah,
twats it away. And he goes, oh, no, start again. Nah, it is difficult to watch. And I wanted to know how much of yourself, I saw quite a lot of myself in this character, and I felt quite sorry for him throughout all of it.
Yep.
Did you? You're Stone Cold Steve Autism. I didn't know if you were going to...
6'13" That's gonna make sense to like 9 people who are in their 40s, you know what I mean? You're welcome, guys. I got you. This film changes depending on how I view the main character. So there's two ways that I can watch this film.
Right.
I can watch it objectively,
mm-hmm,
and I see the character for his struggles and I view him as a separate entity, and it's me watching a story play out.
It's that guy over there.
I'm very emotionally invested in that guy over there. Like you just said, he tries to put up a few wooden beams on the rubble that was left after the war.
Yeah.
But he hadn't done anything with the rubble. So it was building on a shaky foundation. It's never going to last.
Yeah.
Because he hadn't dealt with the rubble, right? And like...
I'll just put this foundation on this skull and hope that holds.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So without dealing with his past, he was trying to build a future, but without looking into the past, he wasn't able to move forward. And it was this heartbreaking battle that you see this guy fumble with for a little bit. I mean, I say fumble like it's a bad thing, but it's what every fucking human would do. It's such a well-written, well-rounded human character trying to deal with his shit by not fully dealing with it and just trying to move past it. It doesn't work, right? So objectively, I'm watching it and I'm fucking Shikishima. I'm like, you beautiful bastard. I fucking adore you. You deserve to live.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's, you did what any of us would have done.
Yeah,
you
of made course.
The choices that were right for you. Forgive yourself. Love yourself. Fucking love you.
Also, as a Western audience, trying to internalize the shame of him choosing to not kamikaze himself.
Oh my God.
You sort of start from a default position of like, well, obviously he didn't kamikaze himself. I'm super on board with this guy's choice.
Exactly.
Like, he objectively made the right choice.
Exactly.
He didn't do the mad thing. I wouldn't watch a film about, I don't know, a suicide bomber from, mm-hmm. you know, those Welsh suicide bombers. I'm not like, oh yeah, they're great.
It's not like you can watch ISIS the comedy and be like, oh, I get it.
Right,
you know
exactly.
what I mean? It doesn't exist.
Four Lions.
It's exactly the film I was thinking about.
It's easy to kind of view him objectively like that, yeah, but then what's the other way you view it?
So, but I can watch this film subjectively.
You're watching like, this guy's a failure, he didn't do it.
Essentially, yeah, where okay. I'm putting myself in his position and I'm like, okay, I'm trying to sort of heal through the film, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird thing.
It's physio.
I put myself yeah, in yeah. the film, and it is physio. It's yep. like a workout. It's an exercise to try and look at your own past and go, have I really dealt with my rubble?
Mm-hmm.
Can I put my foundation on? Do I deserve to build a new house?
Yeah, yeah, of course.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's that totally. Thing.
And when I watch it subjectively, I'm like, this guy's a piece of shit. Fuck this guy. He's got no honor. He's got no fucking family.
Yeah.
He's failing everyone around him. Fuck this guy. You know what I mean? Pussy.
I think...
Where's the sigma?
I think I could relate to... I never viewed him subjectively. For me, he was always that guy over there.
Right.
But I think my empathy for how he must feel was amplified by like, oh, I felt a small fraction of that.
Yeah, yeah, you know, definitely.
People got irrevocably hurt because of my open quotes selfish behavior.
Exactly.
In his case, you know, it was not shooting the giant lizard with an aircraft gun.
No, exactly.
In my case, it was, you know, going out of my mind and having a mental breakdown or three.
Objectively, I forgive him,
mm-hmm.
and I want him to be the fucking, I want him to be the person that he is desperate to be. And subjectively, when I first watched this film, I was really struggling to forgive him because I was just viewing myself in that position. And at that moment, I don't think I was doing as much work on myself as I could have been.
Yeah.
I didn't like myself as much. Whereas now I feel like I'm a little closer down the road towards, you yeah. know, forgiving myself and accepting myself for who I am and what this is.
So the director, Takashi Yamazaki, he's got a really good quote on this, which I'll read to you and the folks at home.
Okay.
He says, one thing I did try to keep in mind was seeing how low we could push these characters. So I'm already in love with this director. I'm like, that's exactly
yeah,
incredible.
yeah.
Throw everything and make them feel like an absolute loser.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the character arc starts. So it's almost a V-shaped character arc, if you will. I see character arcs like a roller coaster. So before I throw them into the absolute pit, I want to bring them up a little bit before they go down.
Yeah.
Like there was one Fuck. Moment where Shikishima said, is it okay for me to be happy? And then bang, Godzilla turns up. And I've never wanted to write a film more when I've suddenly gone, oh, I can torture them.
Yeah, dude. I love this shit, man. I love this shit. My favorite thing about this whole thing, right? That's fucking brutal from the director for a start. What an absolute legend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My favorite thing about this is it doesn't matter about status in this film.
No.
Like it shows you what war does to a society.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter whether you're politician, whether you're military, whether you're disgraced duty fleeing kamikaze pilot.
Yeah.
Or whether you're just a kid that doesn't fully understand the gravitas of war, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're all on the same fucking level, buddy.
100%.
Everyone is pitching in.
Yeah.
Everyone is on the exact same plane. And the fact that the country that's been leveled mm-hmm. by war and is now being leveled by Godzilla, you see the societal representation by every character, regardless of PhDs or past lives, all completely leveled.
Yeah. Because everyone's mates in front of a tidal wave.
Exactly. Like, it doesn't fucking matter what you did before the fact that before the tsunami hits, it doesn't matter whether the person to the right of you owns a Tesla truck or not.
Right, yeah,
do you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, like, good one, John. What are you going to do? Drive it through the fucking mountainous wave that's about to murder us all? No.
The 5-minute dickhead. Warning comes over and the nukes are going to drop. You're not like, oh, yeah, I'll have a hug, but show me your tweets.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. Actually, what was your last year's income? Sorry.
Oh. Well,
pussy. Where's the sigma?
I agree with you. I agree with you. That pulling together is fantastic. And I think what makes the writing in this so incredibly clever is the character is not only the main character, Shikishima, is not only an audience surrogate, he's a national surrogate in that post the bomb falling, Japan had been an empire with an emperor who, and the national spirit was never surrender, never give up. We will fly planes into you and the pilot will die. And then they surrender. And then there's kind of, can you imagine the national shame coming from an empire with an emperor and going, well, no, we're inherently right because our right is given to us by God. And then going, oh, actually we're not. That kind of feeling of national shame that will have come with surrendering, losing your empire, looking back on all the things you did in the name of it. What an incredible thing to put the character in a position of, where do I go from here?
Yeah.
At a time in Japan's history where very much nationally they would have been going, well, where do we go here? Because of the giant nuclear monster.
Yeah, no, 1,000%.
And again, we had an empire, so we can't criticize. Like, the British Museum is full of everyone's stuff.
Yeah, it is.
Right? But empires go places and steal people's shit. That's what empires do.
Okay.
My point is, Luke Skywalker didn't think about the cultural loss of blowing up the Death Star, because there will have been a museum on there, and there'd have been shit from Alderaan, there'd have been priceless relics from Jakku, and the Library of Alexandria burning had nothing on that fucking Death Star go up, all right?
Yeah, that's fair. Also, can I just pull you up on a sec? You're saying we had an empire.
Not us personally, no.
I was gonna say we were nowhere fucking near this.
I was
Don't
trying.
Turn us into fucking football hooligans.
Right.
You know, these fucking these guys that go and stand next to a field and yell for 90 minutes, the most racist hatred shit that you can imagine. And then they go back to a council flat and beat their wives, being we won. What the fuck did you win? You smashed a hamburger in your face and shouted race hate at a fucking stranger.
The millionaire.
Who's gonna drive home in their Lamborghini?
What do you think
he's gonna care what some fat dude in a fucking council estate said about his mom?
You're right. Football fans in the UK are incredible. The stuff they shout from the sidelines,
some of them is
awful, but it's awful in a way that I'm so incredibly proud of.
Oh, 1,000%.
Some of the incredibly hurtful football chants that, if you're an American listener and you think football is, NFL, and you think of the NFL chants, just have a quick Google, see if you can find a comparison between American supporters supporting their team.
Dude, I watched a video on this the other day. It was all the American football chants. And there was this one where it was a huge crowd of people in all the bright colors and stuff next to the field being sort of one guy was screaming, "I believe we can win." And everyone's like, "I believe we can win." And it immediately cuts to a British soccer game where it's literally "Hey, he fingered your mom. He fingered your mom. He fingered your mom. Your dad left you." And I was like, "Oh my Jesus Christ. Can you imagine the culture shock of that? Can you just imagine?" But imagine just a desperately sweet American sports fan who's just sort of yay, soccer, go sports.
Yeah.
They go to a fucking...
American celebrities turning up to local football matches.
Go to a derby, fucking Arsenal and Chelsea, and just the sheer fucking rage that is emanating from every single human soul on that fucking sideline. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, mate, it's hilarious.
So I get your point, though. We didn't have an empire.
Thank you.
Not yet.
I just needed to clear that up. Not yet.
We might have one.
Oh, we're working on it. We're working on it. Yeah. Do you think all these fucking toys behind me are for show? No, they're going in the museum, mate. Every one of them stolen. Right, I've got a question for you.
Ooh, hit me.
We've done Monsterverse.
We've done every Monsterverse.
We've done every Monsterverse. We've just done Godzilla Minus One. This is Godzilla Minus One. We've just watched it.
Yes, there we are. That alcohol freebie is kicking in.
Oh, I am buzzing off this LucasAid, babe. You have no idea. Which is your favorite Godzilla? Which you prefer? Do you like Monsterverse or do you like Toho? Which way are you leaning?
That's a really difficult question. And I have thought about it, and I had one answer, and I'm now questioning my answer.
Go on.
I think if someone were to ask me which is the better film, Godzilla Minus One or any of the legendary Monsterverse movies,
yeah,
I would say Godzilla Minus One is the better film.
Okay.
The layers in the writing, the tone. Mm-hmm. There's a certain bit of it that's like, it's different culturally, so I don't have, I can't predict quite as often how what's going to happen when.
Yeah.
I think it's the better film, but I enjoy Legendary Monsterverse more. Because I feel so like...
You like Western Godzilla better than OG Godzilla?
I enjoy him more.
Racist.
No, I tell you what it is. I tell you what it is, right? Godzilla being, as we discussed in our earlier chats and earlier episodes on the Monsterverse, Godzilla being a sort of stand-in for nuclear devastation. Mm-hmm. I feel like Legendary Monsterverse, they've allowed that metaphor to move on. You know, the devastation's happened. It's wrought this beast, Godzilla.
Yeah.
He's fucked up Tokyo, but now he's kind of stopped fucking up Tokyo. And now he's partying with a monkey and he's twatting Americans. And I'm like, this is optimism. This is like act 3 Godzilla Minus One.
Right.
Whereas Toho Godzilla is just the devastation.
Right. So
the accusation.
So Godzilla's like, he's moved on. He's having fun, yeah. And Toho Godzilla is still stomping Tokyo, being like, it was fucking one of yous! Disgusting!
Yeah, 100%. Like, there's no doubt that Toho Godzilla has more of a point. It's just a point that makes me feel bad, because I'm like,
oh yeah, 1,000%.
There's a bit in this where he does the atomic breath, and like, I've seen Godzilla's atomic breath cut up a pyramid or whatever. In this one, it literally destroys... what looks to be like a quarter of Japan.
Yeah.
The island of Japan just disintegrates. And I'm like, I wasn't expecting that much destruction.
Exactly.
I was like, two or three buildings. No, all of them. They're all fucking gone. And I was just like.
City's gone.
I'm like.
City go by.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm not having as nice a time with Japanese Godzilla. He's a bit intense for me.
Yeah. I don't think I can cheer that one. You know, if it's a bit of a pyramid, I'm like, wow. Right.
Who would you rather take a train to Edinburgh with? Do you know what I mean?
I'd probably go Toho, you know.
What, really?
Toho Godzilla on a train to Edinburgh. He'd take no shit from no one. You know what I mean?
Including you.
Wish you'd get a seat. Yeah, you'd get a seat.
You'd move your leg and he'd be like, I need you to stop doing that right fucking now.
And I fucking would.
Do you know what your people have done to me?
I fucking would.
Do you have any understanding of the depth of pain that I represent and you dare to move your legs?
Yeah, it's those cunts that have took the fucking table seat. We could have more leg room if it wasn't for the people that have... fucking created you. Get on it. Revenge it.
Toho Godzilla is like a suicidal, psychopathic football hooligan.
But they're always fun to be around for about 20 minutes, you know what I mean?
Train to Edinburgh, mate. It's a bit longer than that.
Oh, yeah. I see your point. Okay.
My point is, those football hooligans you were talking about earlier, give one of them crippling suicidal depression and a bag of Coke and get on the train with it. That's Toho Godzilla.
And also, they can nuke cities just by getting a bit angry. Yeah, all right. Yeah,
Yeah.
All right, yeah. I'll go Monsterverse on the train to Edinburgh. Yeah, we'll do that. He's pink. He seems like he can have a laugh. You know what I mean? Plus, if anyone starts any shit, it'll batter him. There you go. Well, I'm glad we solved that.
What about you? Legendary or Toho? Toho all the way?
I'm Toho all the way, man.
You got a thing for big legs.
Toho all the way. It's the thighs, the thick thighs. You know what
Dickest
I mean?
Thickest thighs.
Fucking, honestly, man, he a thick boy. It's everything about him. It's so precise and it's so, what's the word I'm looking for? Deliberate.
Mm. Yeah.
It's very deliberate. I feel like Monsterverse Godzilla is fine, but he's a bit of a dick and he's like...
Yeah, he's a flappy boy.
He's like that one kid that you're not supposed to give like E-numbers to and some dickhead brings in Skittles and he's just sort of like, mate, yeah, watch this. He's going to bounce off this fucking wall.
Yeah, me at school.
Yeah, lad, have that. Yeah, exactly. I wasn't allowed E-numbers. This is fine.
Yeah, it was
great. And that's fun, but... The Toho Godzilla, the way he moves, the way he travels, the speed that he travels, everything is deliberate and precise and there's no like big flashy stuff in this. It is just devastation. Devastation.
Yeah.
Devastation.
He kind of walks across a Tokyo dance floor like a guy that knows that anybody on that dance floor with him could punch him and it would just bounce off.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't hurry. He's just like, there is nothing. I'm doing at my own pace.
Yeah,
because there is nothing you can do. If I've chosen to do it, it's happening.
He's the guy that shows up to a family barbecue in double denim in 30 degree heat. You know what I mean? There was no accident there. That was a fully planned out thing. And he pulls it off immediately. No one's going to say shit to him. God, aren't you hot in that? You'd get a fucking boot to the mouth. It's everything about it is deliberate. And I fucking adore that the threat feels more real.
Yeah, it really does.
The gravitas of the situation feels more real, and that means more to me, especially from the audience surrogate point of view, where they have to deal with their shit to deal with the bigger shit that's now hunting them down. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like
it puts a timer on self-love.
It really does. I mean, it really does.
You got 20 minutes to forgive yourself and fucking get over this shit. Otherwise, this stompy boy is fucking you up again, bud. It's the inspiration I need to really heal. You know what I mean? The threat of imminent death is really going to make me love myself.
Yeah, but I think as a stand-in for self-blame, lack of self-forgiveness, guilt, remorse, that whole thing of every time Shikishima tries to move forward, Godzilla comes and just goes, Shikishima.
Shikishima!
Better? Was that better?
That might be an edit. That might have been racist. That might be an edit. It's not going to be an edit. Oh, I need to pull you up on this. Do you know the amount of episodes I've listened to recently where I've gone, oh, that needs to be an edit, and you've just fucking gone, left it in.
Because it's hilarious.
Yeah, okay, sound.
All right. If it's funny, it stays in.
Yeah, fine, fuck it.
That's why none of my stuff ever makes it to the final fucking episode.
Oh, buddy. We'll keep the sneeze in, because it's funny. It's vaguely racist,
it's not.
Funny.
It's the butt of the joke is my inability to pronounce Japanese names. It's not Japanese names.
Oh, okay, I get you.
It's not punching up or down, it's punching backwards into my own face. Is that not allowed? Yeah, okay, right.
This episode's about self-love, Rob!
Okay, true.
See?
But before the Godzilla of consume happens, right? So, speaking of self-love, I know some people who are going to struggle with that this year.
Okay.
So, this is the first Godzilla film to win or even be nominated for an Academy Award.
Okay.
In this case, for Best Visual Effects. So, Godzilla 98 with Matthew Broderick.
Incredible.
Godzilla 2014, Godzilla versus Kong. We're all on the short list for nomination. But didn't make the cut. Now this one, which won the Oscar for Best Visual Effects.
Incredible.
Had a VFX.
Well deserved.
Yeah, right. Had a VFX team of 35 people. All the visual effects.
Wait, 35 people?
Total. Did all the CGI for this movie, yeah.
That's fucking insane to me.
Isn't it just?
35 people. I've seen some behind the scenes stuff of this film and it is all green screen.
Yep.
Tokyo, green screen. It is literally just the hut, the rubble outside the front of the house. The rest is green screen. The market scene, green screen.
Yep.
The fucking Odo Island, that gorgeous landscape that looks nothing but real.
Yep.
All green
screen. This is Captain Planet and the World of Tomorrow, but done right.
Fuck me, man.
Yeah.
I know 35 people. I think if we all did a whip around, we could probably fucking sketch some out. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, my question to you, Ben, is...
Fuck me, man.
How do you think the teams of hundreds working on Godzilla 98, 2014, and Godzilla vs. Kong are feeling this year with the self-love?
I feel like next year's Oscars, they're on a countdown, you know what I mean? They're deliberately stomping forward this year. They're like, fuck, all right, we've got about 8 months left. The self-love to make something that's going to smack the shit out of Godzilla. You know what I mean? So, we need something to do this on.
If any of them are listening, because I know that we are widely listened to by industry tastemakers.
1,000%.
Melissa's always in.
She's constantly going on. Spielberg won't stop ringing. You need to calm down, bud. All right, your films are okay.
His last one was shit.
Eventually.
So,
it was bollocks.
I do have something that might help them with their self-love, though, which is with a team that small, one of the benefits... is that if you're on, say, Godzilla versus Kong, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's 200 of you.
Yeah.
There are 7 layers of management between you and the director. So you do your edit to the scene and you submit it to your boss.
Yeah.
Who submits it to your boss's boss.
Right.
Who then's on holiday that week. So he then comes back and submits it to your boss's boss. And then by the time it reaches the director, who goes, yeah, it's good, but can we tweak this? 4 weeks have gone by.
Right, okay.
With 35 people, because Takashi Yamazaki was also the VFX supervisor.
Incredible.
He was in the room with them. So they could literally go, oi, Takashi, what you feel about this? And he was like, yeah, it's pretty sick. Move on. Next shot.
That's banging.
So management structure, as dry and dull as it is probably a huge part of why this film managed to make it to the Oscar when literally hundreds more people couldn't manage it.
I can't get over it's 35 people. Fair fucking play to him.
Right?
And fair play for, like, the director being in the room with him. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right. Well, I mean, it was also his job, VFX supervisor. You know, he's did two jobs. He can't just be like, oh, can't turn up, feeling a bit unwell because they're like, no, we can see you. You're on set.
Yeah, bud, you're...
Oh, yeah, sorry, I forgot we're working on the same film.
We're at work right now, all right? Who are you calling in sick to? You run this show, bitch. Also, 100%. Look at this foot I just did. Thick thighs, what we say.
Although, speaking of Oscar ceremony, this... I mean, they were at the Oscars with Nolan.
Mm-hmm.
Must have been a bit awkward. He's there with the Oppenheimer movie. Ooh. They're there with Minus One, arguably the kind of most... Probably the most raw depiction I've seen since maybe Grave of the Fireflies by... Miyazaki.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's got to have been awkward. Do you think Godzilla said anything to Nolan? Do you think there would have been like tension in the room?
I think he'd already gone stateside to film Godzilla X Kong: The New Empire. He was training for the new body type.
He was busy.
Yeah, because obviously this film it's all thighs. It's a lot of squats.
He's getting his scales dyed pink.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right, he had to be in makeup.
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously with a kaiju that size, the makeup team is 200 people.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Godzilla says a lot about that culturally. I think Eastern Godzilla having banging legs and then American Godzilla having banging tits. I feel like culturally, as a globe, we're slowly building towards the fittest Godzilla that will ever exist. Do you know what I mean?
French Godzilla is going to be the one. No, speaking of Nolan, there is a little scarf boy moment in the making of this film.
Okay.
So the J7W Shinden plane that Shikishima has to figure out how to repair, right, with the help of his mate.
Rear propeller.
Yeah, did you know that was a real plane?
I did not.
Neither did I. I did not either. I thought that was like a retro futurist sci-fi thing. Nope.
Yeah, I thought it was like a cyberpunk thing.
No. It's a fully prototyped, about to be developed real plane.
Okay.
Basically, there were two on test flights.
Right.
When the bombs were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Wow.
So a little bit late. Never got finished. and they went, okay, well, obviously, we don't need these anymore. They're incredibly expensive to design. So. Yeah. When they had to make the prop, they had a bit of a problem, but they got the scarf boy technique. They sold the prop that they made preemptively. Mm-hmm. The Tachiarai, the...
Go on, one more time.
The Tachiarai Peace Memorial Museum.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sorry, I was miles away.
Tachiarai.
The Tachiarai Memorial Peace Museum bought the prop preemptively to use as a replica in their museum. So they could recoup the cost like Nolan did with the corn in Interstellar.
No fucking way.
Yeah, recognizing the material value of your props before starting making them and going, who would buy
that's
this?
The biggest, that's the biggest fuck you to Nolan I can think of. They're just sort of like, Godzilla's sitting in his chair, right? And he's just sort of like, this cunt's making a film about those bastards that made me. All right, fuck him. Tell you what we're going to do. What did he do on that film with the fucking corn? Sell it and make some money back. Get me the plane. Get me the plane on the phone right now.
I love that this version of Godzilla has just turned into like a sort of East London crim.
Yeah, that's exactly how I picture Godzilla. We're building the fittest Godzilla, right? Okay. It needs a bit of South London in there.
Right,
you know what
okay,
I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, South London. So like, hey, my gay.
Yeah.
G, get over here, bruv.
I mean, again.
You got the food, yeah,
I'm
fam?
I'm not... Move your fucking leg, bruv.
Move your leg, bruv. I'll fucking quiff you, fam.
Move your leg, bruv.
Man's quiff you, bruv.
I don't know these words. Okay. You know what I mean? I really enjoy South London. Okay. It's a nice place to be.
That says a man who's never been there.
It's very scary. I've been there thrice. I went to Brixton Academy once. It was very scary.
How many years ago was that, Ben?
Four? Five?
Okay, it was. Got a bit stabbier, but it's mostly this. Weirdly, Brixton's actually come up in the world. It's now much more gentrified. Oh. They've got an electric cinema.
Wow. Mm. Wow.
The brand, not the method of powering.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, now I'm less impressed. All right,
it was hand crank until 1995.
Oh, my God. Right. The fact that this film does what Monsterverse does.
Right.
So it entertains us with, like, you know, big fuck off massive lizard boy.
Yes.
But it also has the ability to help you down a path of self-love and forgiveness. Is outrageously good writing.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Outrageously good writing. Like, this film has no right being as influential on my emotional state as it is. I still don't fully understand it, but in the cinema, this shit broke me a few times.
Yep.
Fucking Akiko, a little bastard.
The little orphan girl. Pieces. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, she's been orphaned more times than spaghetti has been thrown at the wall in an Italian kitchen. Do you know what I mean? It's literally like, buddy, at some point...
Is that what you think goes on?
At some point, she's got to stick to one wall. You know what I mean? The pasta will be done soon, Akiko, I promise. She broke my heart 1,000 times. Fucking Tachibana. Tachibana. I'm gonna argue this point.
This is the mechanic that...
The mechanic.
Which witnesses Shikishima bottle it and not kill Godzilla when he's a baby.
Yeah.
And then Shikishima gets in touch with him and is like, I need your help fixing the spider machine GP7. And yeah.
Make my car fly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Tachibana shows up and is just sort of like, it's your fucking fault that I lost all of my men.
Yeah.
And he still has this bitter rage in him. He still has an injury on his leg from the Godzilla attack. And there's a very tense, relationship that happens between Shikishima and Tachibana. Mm. And it's, you can tell on both sides, Shikishima is desperate for Tachibana's forgiveness.
Yes.
And Tachibana has no interest in revisiting the past. He's like, it's too far.
We're moving forward.
Painful,
yeah, yeah.
It's too far gone. We'd just fucking get on with it. We're gonna finish what was started on that island.
Yeah.
All those years ago. Like last year. But this Tachibana is I'm going to argue that he's one of the best characters that has ever been written into the Godzilla universe.
Yeah.
Ever. Because not only does this bastard hold the resentment behind his gritted teeth,
mm-hmm.
and he does the job for his country and for the betterment of his people, not to help Shikishima. Doesn't do this. But when the Japanese government, with the kamikaze planes, they cut corners, yeah. they didn't put ejector seats in. This is why kamikaze pilots were a thing,
because
it's too expensive to allow the pilot to survive, essentially.
Yeah.
So
life is cheaper than this button.
Exactly. Yeah, it's cheaper for you to fucking end yourself than it is for me to put a seat in that would save your life. Sozbud. You know what I mean? In you go. And Tachibana doesn't agree with this. And he builds an ejector seat into this suicide plane
mm-hmm.
that Shikishima has ordered to get built up. There is a moment between them. This is going to get me. I need to calm down a minute. Hold on, just one sec.
True friendship.
Moment between them where Shikishima's sitting in the plane and Tachibana is explaining, you've had the safety gear taken out.
Yeah.
It's been replaced with a bomb. You've had a machine gun taken out that's going to help you fight Godzilla. It's now replaced with a bomb.
Yeah.
If you land in its mouth, you have to pull this lever out and then it will detonate on impact. And he's explaining this as to be sort of like, this is how you detonate the bomb that you are flying around a massive fuck-off lizard, right? And then it cuts to Tachibana saying, but I've also, you pull this lever and the ejector seat goes off. You get out before the plane hits the mouth, right? Shikishima is like gobsmacked that Tachibana has even bothered doing this, because he was fully, fully committed to the role of, I deserve to die. I cost people's lives. I fucked up beyond repair. I cannot move forward. Tachibana's like, you deserve to live. Fucking live. And it got me so fucking hard, buddy. So hard.
Of course, because it's the external validation. I think one of the things that that I find difficult, and I'm sure you find difficult, is there are lots of things that we would really like to forgive ourselves for, but it feels like we'd be doing a disservice to the people we hurt if we did.
I see it as an insult.
Yeah, we're not allowed to forgive ourselves for that.
If I'm honest.
Because we don't know if they've forgiven us.
No.
And probably never will, because we're not in touch and all that kind of stuff. I feel like this film with Tachibana building the ejector seat is that moment of validation from the person who was hurt saying, you did what you did and it was bad, but it's I don't want this for you. I want you to move forward from it. Because the only
catch a banner, flipping the coin.
Yeah.
You owe it to the people that you got killed mm-hmm. to live your fucking life yeah. because they don't get a choice to.
Yeah.
You have a choice. Yeah. Fucking make the right one. And it's that. Dude, it's too much, man. It's so fucked. Even in that moment when it's like you're looking at him fucking subjectively and I'm in that plane seat and I'm dealing with my shit, and then just it's the equivalent of having you go, I got you, man. This is it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, just fucking, this is how you deal with it. This is how you step forward. I fucking built you an ejector seat, and I'm like, fuck you, just let me die.
I'd always, do you know what I mean? always build you an ejector seat, Ben.
Aw.
Of course I would.
Thanks.
Do you want to play a game?
Kinda.
Do you want to play the ejector seat game?
You're such a dick. Yes.
You ready for...
yeah, I do.
You ready for God Quizzer minus one? There's that smile. There's that smile.
Yeah, I'm so ready for God Quizzer. Right. This is amazing. Ready? Come on. All right, hit me with it.
What color is Godzilla?
Blue-ish? Navy?
I mean, I'm colorblind, but I've externally... verified this.
Are you actually colorblind?
Not fully. I'm red green. I'm slightly red green colorblind. I can still tell what red is and what green is, but if you ask me to arrange shades of green, it's all fucky.
Are you being serious? How do I not know this?
Mate,
why is it everything we do green? Like, I feel like a cunt now. I would have picked a different color so you could enjoy it too.
No. I can tell that it's green and I really enjoy the shade of green. If you were to give me an RGB spectrum, and ask me to pick out the shade of green we use, I would be wildly off. I just can't tell shades that well. I enjoy shades perfectly well.
So many times when I'm like, can you just knock up a logo? Can you just match this to this? Can you just?
Yeah, I use the color picker every time.
You can see green.
I just use the color picker every time.
Okay, yeah, cheat.
If anything, it makes me more rigorous. I'm like, no, I'm going to color pick. I've uploaded images to websites before and got the hex code. Yeah. I know the hex codes of our logo colors by heart.
That's ridiculous. Okay. What was the question?
What color's Godzilla?
Like a dark blue?
No.
Gray.
He's gray. Okay. Godzilla being green is a stereotype that started as early as 1956 because the American poster for Godzilla was green. Because it's the whole Hulk gray-green thing, right?
Got ya.
So that all got mixed up. But he's only ever been grey. Question two. Does MonsterVerse Godzilla have gills?
Yes.
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. And
I remember that there's one scene that weirds me out and I don't like it.
What's more than that, he's not the only Godzilla to have gills. The Showa era Godzilla has gills. It was how they canonically explained the air holes in the Godzilla suits.
Excellent.
Right?
That makes it even better.
In the original 1962 King Kong versus Godzilla movie.
Yes.
Who wins?
King Kong?
Yes, buddy. But there was a dirty rumor that in Japan, Godzilla wins, and in the States, King Kong wins.
Hey, is this true?
It's not entirely untrue, right? So there's different dubbing, okay? So King Kong triumphs at the end of both movies.
Oh.
But in the Japanese version,
characters
speculate that Godzilla may still be alive.
Right.
Whereas in the American version, they state that they hope they have seen the last of Godzilla. And then when the end graphic appears in the Japanese version, you hear both Godzilla and Kong's roar.
Right, okay.
And in the American one, you only hear Kong's.
You only hear Kong. I've got it on Blu-ray and I haven't watched it in a long time.
No, it's one of those ones you watch and then you're like, I've seen that for 10 years and you love it, you cherish it and you move on with your life.
I'm going to have to rewatch it, man. I'm going to see if I can get a hold of a Japanese copy somewhere. If you have a Japanese copy of Godzilla versus Kong from the 60s, can you fucking just let me know? We'll watch it with me on Discord or some shit. I don't know. We'll figure something out. Or give it.
All right, this is an easy one. What year did Godzilla and Gamera finally get to fight on screen?
Oh, don't do this. I watched this recently. I've been working my way through Gamera movies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, hear me out. Is it late 60s?
No.
Is it early 70s?
No.
What? Is it 2003?
No, it's not. They've never fought on screen.
Fuck off, Rob! Well, that spoiled my thing. I'm like three movies deep in the
camera.
It's a
common misconception because quite often they would get licensed to the same toy company. And the toy company would do Godzilla versus Gamera, stuff like this, that, or the other.
Right, okay.
They're owned by separate companies, and the company that owns Gamera keeps approaching Toho and being like, let's do this. And Toho are like, yeah, we'll get back to you.
Yeah.
When asked about the concept in an interview, there was a producer for Toho who said, perhaps Godzilla or Tokusatsu fans would want to see it. Mm-hmm. But there would be no benefit for the filmmakers to make this movie.
Wow. Wow.
If it's any help, right?
Sure.
They did battle once in a live puppet show in 1970.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you can just,
early 70s.
If anyone's got a VHS copy of the live puppet show in 1970, let Ben know. I mean, who knows, mate? They are out there. They are out there.
Link me the fucking home video footage. You know what I mean? I want to see it. I feel like I've been duped.
Yep.
I'm not going to lie. I'm massively disappointed. The main reason I started the Gamera series is because I was like, when the crossover happens, I'm going to get all tingly. Now I know it's never coming. And there's about 40 films. So that's good. Did I win?
You did win. You really, really did win.
Fuck yeah. God Quizzer, baby.
You are the God Quizzer.
Yeah.
Do you remember last week we got our mate Godzilla to help us out with some reels, with some insight?
Yeah.
I've only got more. I've only gone back to the source.
Ooh, fucking straight to the fucking big off lizard
big boy himself.
There,
and he says Godzilla in minus
All
one.
Right,
Godzilla in minus one is a frightening creature with two stages. One, a budding monster, and the second, a fully radiated kaiju. The monster goes on a rampage in Japan and doesn't stop for onlookers. That's a great phrase.
That is incredible.
The film is amazingly crafted in storylines and tone. It's a darker film where Godzilla kills thousands upon thousands with his nuclear bursts and just tosses about maritime ships. It does not faze him one bit. By the end of the film, we see Godzilla face to face with his end. The brutal death scene is powerful and emotional. The protagonist survives, but to what kind of world? That is the undertone of the film. Praised by audiences and critics alike, the movie would go on to win its first Academy Award. The singular accomplishment was one no fan could have imagined.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty fair. I didn't have it on my dance card for the Oscars.
I'd still blown away that fucking Godzilla wasn't there to do his acceptance.
It's because he would have been sat next to everyone, Ben.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
How'd you film around that? All the TV footage would have just been close-ups of Godzilla's back.
Show me the fucking footage. That's what I want to see.
But
get him in the fucking
thank
room.
You for putting that in with us, buddy. We will
thanks, man.
Godzilla_ that you'll see them all over our profile. If you're listening to this, we will be collabing with them all week. What are you rating Godzilla minus one, Ben?
This is a fat 10, man. This is a fat 10.
I was gonna
10.
Say it's hard to get a fat 10 for you. It's Japanese, you big weeaboo. It's Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
It's got themes of depression and self-hatred.
Got thick thighs.
Thick thighs. Yes. Ben's got dreamy eyes.
That's
for thick
words
thighs.
That just came out of my mouth. That's the way it is. What are you rating it?
Well, the film is called Godzilla Minus One. And I think it's only fair.
It is.
That I rate it the same. With a fat 10. With a fat 10,
yes,
buddy.
Yes, buddy.
Thought I'd do a little ruse there, but come on. It's a fat 10, obviously.
Yeah.
Got time for Comic Corner?
We do indeed, sir.
So, on one of our recent reels regarding the movie Abigail, Hassan_A11 got in touch to say, I can't believe they passed on making Dracula Untold 2 so they could make The Mummy. And I went, but Cruise has to fly, man, even if it's straight in the bin. And he went, I love Tom's films, but I blame the studio for this, not him. I think Dracula Untold 2 could still be possible, but they're too stupid to realise it. At which point I had to admit that for me, Dracula Untold was more Dracula Unseen. I've never seen it. And I wanted to ask you, Ben, have you seen Dracula Untold?
I have many years ago.
Have you?
Again.
Dracula movie.
It's it's one of them that's sort of, you know, it's on in the background. I see bits of it. I'm like, well, this is fucking stupid. And then I tune out of it immediately.
Right.
But it's, they're back in, you know, back in the olden days, back when Ben was like drinking and back when Ben was doing drugs. And...
Oh, okay. So Ben remembers nothing of this movie besides the title screen.
Ben remembers it being on.
Yeah, yeah. It was background you know what I mean? Noise to a glass coffee table.
Essentially.
Being scraped. Yeah, yeah. Cool.
Well, it was more like a pocket mirror. But yeah, sure. How rich do you think I was? But a fucking coffee table. Jesus. Back of a Samsung phone, you know what I mean?
Even at the height of my excess, I didn't have a coffee table. I just had a stack of flight cases.
Yeah, there you go. See? That's what I'm saying.
It's great. If I spilled anything, I was like, that just adds to the patina. It's great.
It's character building.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Dracula Untold 2 would be good because I feel like it's building on nonsense that already exists, whereas The Mummy is building on
this new nonsense.
Cinematic genius that exists. You know what I mean? It's new nonsense to something that was already perfect. Let's just, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, is what I'm trying to say. You know what I mean? They've got so many properties that they can reboot. Why that one?
You got time for one more?
I've always got time for one more. I fucking love Comic Con.
The very catchily named, and this will take me a while.
Okay.
User 9037414655.
Got a ring to it.
Asks, how exactly is Abigail a remake of Dracula's Daughter? The latter is a lesbian romance. Which, it's got lesbian undertones, but it's not fully a lesbian. I mean, it's as much of a lesbian romance as you can have in the 50s.
Okay. Loads of ankles.
But that was the original title of the script. That was what they originally set out to write. And they were like, it shares absolutely no plot points or characters with Dracula's daughter. They can't call it a remake at this point. And I would agree. I feel like I may have misspoken when I said it was a remake. I should have said it was intended as a remake.
There you go.
But see? I'm sure there will be more people pointing out my silly mistake.
Well, I mean, also, shut up. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And that's
if you doom scrolling at 2 a.m. like, and some person that you've never met before accidentally calls it a remake instead of an intended remake,
yeah.
Or maybe a spoiler instead of foreshadowing, or maybe mispronounces Barry Keoghan's name. To be honest, mate, I'm starting to think you're the problem.
I'm starting to think that I'm the one that drives engagement, mate.
Oh, you sinister bitch. You sinister bitch.
That is all the time we have this week, but I have a favor to ask our audience. If you are listening to this, I want to do a poll. It's going to backfire on us horribly. It's going to be one of those...
A poll?
Yeah, like when people measure things through people interacting, Ben.
P-O-L-L?
Yes.
I have legitimately, all of my life, read that as poll.
It could just be a different pronunciation depending on where you are.
I feel like I've never said that word out loud.
Because I'll say sandwich and you'll say bam.
I'm not that northern, right, fine. Frick. I'm
anyway, middling. I want to do a survey of who listens.
Go on.
And who's just on socials. And this could be devastating for us. This could be one of those like 1,000 likes and we release our new single, 16.
Oh.
I want to see how many of you guys are listening right now. So if you see one of our socials, do us a favor, just comment with an emoji of your choice. It'd be
not
really
of your choice.
Yeah.
Make it a horse head.
Okay. I mean, or of your choice. Just comment with an emoji. It'd be really handy to see.
Eggplant.
You don't have to out yourself. We just need to know that someone from this space and time also exists on the social media. I want to know if it's not four completely separate audiences who don't know the others exist.
Right, okay.
Do you know
this
what I mean?
Could be interesting.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And it'll help engagement, okay. But that's, you know, that's a side quest.
You're the engagement one, man. This is what I'm saying. You know what I mean? You're the fucking evil genius that's been driving it this whole time. I'm literally sitting here being so like, oh God, we're such sillies.
That's the ejector seat I need for my self-forgiveness, all right? So yes, I'm the engagement guy.
I'm building it in, buddy.
Thank
I'm making
you,
it law.
Thank
I'm giving you,
yes.
You your ejector seat.
Oh, I
fucking
love you.
Live.
Thank you, Tachi Bar.
All right.
Yes.
Guys, thank you so fucking much for hanging out with us this week. It's been an absolute pleasure.
It really has.
We sincerely appreciate your attention and your time, mainly your attention because it validates us as human beings, and we crave it.
But also your time because for a lot of you, you listen to this at the week, start of the week, especially Monday. It's a whole hour, and so thank you for that hour of your time. Ben's going to wrap up the thoughts, themes, and feelings of this movie into a little Monday motivation pep talk for you while I cosplay a society and just tell you to consume.
Made some mistakes, have you? Oh, you got a little bit nervous and, you know, shit in the bed a little bit. Maybe chose the wrong path at some point. Guess what? Blood's on your hands, mate! Deal with it! We're gonna build you an ejector seat.
Okay.
You fucking own your business. You know what I mean? Own your business. Shit happened. It did happen. There's no point pretending it didn't. Fucking happened. Best thing to do, stare at it. Become one with it. Accept it. And then maybe sweep it to a fucking healthier little bin place off the side. Don't just build a fucking house on it. What are you? Shikishima? Are you Shikishima? No? Itachi Banner. You need an ejector seat. I don't know where I'm going with this, by the way, mate. I've got no idea. There's something in there. I don't know. Watch the fucking film. It's full of them. Love you, bye.
News of the week. Fuck you and your mistakes.